Hello and welcome to the Spooky Chris podcast. My name is Chris Ringler. I'm your aforementioned Spooky Chris. Thanks for joining me. Today I am honored to welcome author Kathy Koja once more to talk about her influences and inspirations in music and art, as well as the re-release of her seminal book, Skin. Kathy also had released Catherine the Ghost a few months ago, which we had spoken previously about on my podcast. And she has Dark Matter, the third book in the Dark Factory series, coming up later this year. So stay tuned for a great conversation. Thank you for joining me again, Kathy. It's nice to see you.
Very glad to be here.
And you had something you were going to read, so I will give you...
I do have something I want to read. And this is from one of the performances. The performance group in Skin is called the Surgeons of the Demolition, which if you're going to one of those shows, that would probably give you a good idea of Truth in Advertising. You would sort of know what you were in for. And this is a little passage of one of the surgeon shows. Heat and steam, wet smoke above their milling heads. They were eyes, mouths already yelling, hands already overhead. The room filled in minutes, and there were still more, pushing underfoot in the soundless whoop of strobes, painful screeching of mic'd metal twisting slowly past its tolerance, long combat legs striped in black and chrome silver, leaping incredible to a soundtrack noise so dense it was blood music, terror and strange comfort. Consuming and consummation, all in one. Backlit vampire grin, the soul flamenco across a bed, not of nails, but of chipped and shivering wire, Tess's newest construct, still embryo, but forced into service. The looped montage of screams and the booming whip of light, and BB creeping through the audience with a handful of rusty pins.
That's incredible. Now, this was for one of your live shows?
This was a passage from Skin, and this was probably one of the challenges of writing this book, was trying to learn what it was like to spatially figure out where everybody was at a given moment in a show, which ended up serving me very well later when I directed immersive performances where many things are happening all at once. You don't always know physically what is happening, but you know where all the performers are. You have, you know, the map in your head of where everybody's playing. And I remember thinking about that when I was writing this and thinking, geez, I'm going to have this whole show in my head before I can write about it. And that means I have to know everything that's going on at all times spatially. So excellent training for the shows that I did later.
That's amazing. That's awesome. And yeah, I wanted to kind of later on get into kind of the live shows you've done. But yeah, the first thing that kind of I thought about, you and I want to talk about kind of our inspirations, you know, in music and the arts and stuff. And so I wanted to first ask, what inspires you in life?
Oh, well, one of the things that inspires me in life right now is scratching the hell out of this chair and may or may not peep her little head up. We just got some kittens and they're about 5 months old and they are just so full of life. They are life. And I think that's the inspiration, especially right now when we're in such a dark time politically and the climate and every other thing, is not to keep looking on the sunny side of life, but to keep looking on the side of life and say, where is their creation? Where is their continuance? What's alive and how can I help, you know, keep that going and keep it nurtured and keep it growing? And whether it's a relationship or a piece of art or a kitten or a garden or, you know, whatever, how can I continue that? And I have been having a lot of talks with friends and colleagues about that same idea about how do you work in dark times? And everybody, without exception, is super gung-ho. And everyone is like, I'm just going to do it all the more. I'm just going to do it all the more because you feel like you really have to keep the fire lit all around you, all the little fires, right? Keep them all lit.
Yeah, it is interesting that that's kind of a great way to look at it, because with everything going on and it's so much, it's so at the same time, having that little like nurturing life and every kind of aspect and size and form really does get important. And you know, that's kind of like truly keeping the embers lit as every turn, you know, the machine is just trying to crush everything.
We don't usually see, we have not yet seen it in this country so starkly as we're seeing it now. So this is really kind of a growing up exercise for us too. We won't get off onto politics, but during the first administration of this person, a friend in Italy said to me, kind of joking, but mostly not, "Oh, Kathy, first dictator?" I said, "Yeah, I didn't laugh. I'm like, yeah, kind of." But then when I thought about it afterwards, I'm like, you know, he really put it in perspective. We are a very young country still, and other countries have gone through this threshing machine, right, before and have come out in different ways. So this is not a done deal. And if we have to fight for our democracy a little bit, that's probably a real good thing.
It is interesting that, I mean, you know, we've had little like bumps along the road, you know, big and small, but like this really is a kind of a turning point, like, you know, crap or get off the pot kind of a thing. Like if you're gonna keep saying, looking at your history and say, oh, 1776, all this stuff, now's the time to really prove it, or you know, you prove everybody else right, like, you know, that you weren't what you claimed you were.
Or that, right, or that the ideals don't stand up to pressure, right? If it doesn't work under pressure, if it doesn't stay together under pressure, I mean, that's why the juxtaposition of Trump hanging a giant banner of himself opposite Lincoln was like, you could cut the irony with a fucking knife, right? Yeah, we are in the same situation with the same kind of people, and we have only this time we have no friend in the White House, and we have to make it work on our own. But again, that when things are really bad too, I go back to fiction, I go back to music, I go back to films. Those are the things that I use to keep myself going. I don't bust out on tyranny, no matter how great a book it is. I go to Watership Down, right? I want to see, how did a group stand up to a senseless bully, and how did they get out of it? And that's the other reason to make light, right? Because other people can use it too.
Well, let's talk about so what music has always kind of fueled your writing and your inspiration?
I really like strong individual voices. I've been listening to a lot of PJ Harvey lately. David Bowie has always been a huge touchstone for me. I'm trying to think of specific song examples, but of course I can't. Perfume Genius, all the direction that he is taking his music in. The ones who really have that strong and singular voice, and you might not always like everything they do, or even understand everything they do, but you kind of have a relationship with the voice, and you keep going back to it and back to it and saying, or even bands like the Pixies that I listened to back in the day, and I still listen to because they had their own voice and their own way of speaking and of presenting their music that isn't like anybody else. And I go for that in everything. The really strong, strong. That's why I don't read fiction when I'm writing, because the voices are very strong, and I don't want, you know, to have any crosstalk or. So I don't read a lot of fiction when I'm writing because I'm writing almost all the time. So my TBR pile is like this big, and I've got to. Don't know if you can see Minx's butt.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll put Minx on camera for a minute. This is
Hooray.
Minx.
Hi, Minx.
It's Minx.
Aww.
Minx did not like the thunderstorms last night. Minx was not a fan.
Yeah,
Not a fan.
nor were our dogs, so I
Yeah, I
understand.
bet it was. Yeah, they don't. And that relationship between music and between voice and between voices and books and even what I want to say. It's not only what is being said, but it's also the presentation. Someone like Blixa Bargeld, I've always thought was a great artist because he was and is exactly who he is. There's no Leonard Cohen was another one. Diamanda Galas is another one. Even bands I like Coco Rosie a lot, and Coco Rosie is doing something that's still Coco Rosie, but not. But voices that you always are glad to hear, whether or not you like what they're, liking it is immaterial. You just want to know what they have to say.
Now it's so for a book, Cats and the Ghost, what the your newest written release. For something like that, what was, and I remember we had spoken before, and you kind of had her voice in your head, and you had these these characters in your head, and same thing with the Dark Factory series, is they are in your head kind of like talking to you. Are they the ones kind of tell, like, this is what they would want to hear, or like you listen to stuff
That's
that.
such a great question, for Catherine the Ghost, because I was trying to stay so true to Emily Bronte and what, because she's a huge hero of mine. I am so sorry. I have to move Minx out of the room because she's
You're
going to
fine.
pull this
You're
right
fine.
off the table. Come here, my love. Out you go. Okay. Catherine the Ghost was so bound and so indebted to Wuthering Heights and to that voice of Emily Bronte, who's another one, is super strong. There isn't anybody else like her. And I wanted to make sure that I was being as true as I could be to that voice while also doing the things with the story that I felt I wanted to do or that I could do and kind of make a companion piece to what she had done and through, made bold by a lifetime of loving that book. And I love it as much as I did the first time I read it. And every time I go back to it, I learn something else. So Dark Factory is a little bit different because Dark Factory, for folks who might not know, is a series that takes place in the world of dance clubs and in gaming and in entertainment. And for Dark Factory, I listened to a ton of techno, a ton, which is kind of great because being from Detroit, and Detroit is the techno town, but Detroit and Berlin techno, and a lot of dance music like that, and music that if you don't listen to it, you might say, oh, it all sounds, I mean, it's four on the floor, it all sounds the same, or I. But if you go into it and you listen to it for a half an hour, an hour, 2 hours, you are being taken on this journey, this oral, oral with an A, exploration. And that's what a really great DJ can do is make music out of music. Derek May said that, one of the great techno artists. But yeah, it's like you're making music out of music and to try to get in that, either that or white noise. I did use white noise sometimes because sometimes you need nothing, just nothing to make sure you're on track. There are a lot of moving parts in those books, an awful lot of moving parts.
Well, you've put out short story collections. With like in a roundabout way, you are the DJ of those collections. So do you kind of, in the same way, are you trying to build kind of a kind of trying to build something that kind of can like a rhythm and a and like kind of a groove?
Good point. I have never thought of it that way. The first story collection, no, but definitely in the later one, Velocities, I tried to break it up too into different vibes or different moods or feelings or settings or, but yeah, to try to keep in that flow. And I try to do that with all my work. And it rhythm in writing is very important to me as a writer and a reader. And things have to flow. And if you are not in that flow, then something is wrong and you have to stop and go back and figure out where you lost the thread. But voice is, yesterday I read a whole bunch of one-star reviews for Ridley Walker, which is a book I love. And people were, the readers were saying, I don't understand the way this is written, and it can't take the time to figure it out, and I don't like it, and which is perfectly valid, but it just made me so sad because I thought, that is a book that demands that you meet it where it is. And if you do, you are going to go on one of those journeys. You will know by the end that something has happened to you. I mean, people say the same thing about Beckett too. It's like who can read that stuff? It's too hard. Well, that's relative, and people are allowed to like what they like, but sometimes meeting a demand is very satisfying. Very, and for music too, right? For anything really that is really new or that is really singular, it's going to ask you to meet it where it is. And that's what you bring, that's what we can bring to the conversation or the process.
Yeah, it seems sometimes like with any of the arts, but I mean, in this case, especially fiction, that people force themselves because they feel like, well, I'm supposed to like this. I'm supposed to read this instead of like maybe stepping away from it and say, I'm going to come at it when I'm in a mindset to meet it where it is instead of forcing it to meet me. And when it can't do that, I'm angry and frustrated and bring your own
And
baggage.
nobody has to read anything, right? I mean, that is another thing. There are writers whose work is universally acknowledged to be great, like Jane Austen. I just can't get anything out of Jane Austen. And I don't think that's Jane Austen's fault, but I don't think it's my fault either. If something is not speaking to you, right, like you said, go away and come back. And if it's still not speaking to you, maybe it's not for you. Everything isn't for everybody, and that isn't, a slam on anyone. Some things are not. I'll never like opera if I go to every opera in the world. I just don't get anything out of the art form. I have tried, but I just don't get it. So am I gonna, be mad at opera? No. And opera's fine without me. It doesn't even notice, that I'm not there. So yeah, not everything is for everybody. And I think taste is, I mean, like the show in the in Skin, is the research that I did for that book. A lot of the shows of survival research laboratories, and Mark Pauline, who came out of the Bay Area back in the day, and their shows were extremely confrontational and very dangerous. And I don't know that you could do anything like that now. And I for sure don't think you could do it in the States. But they insisted that people, I mean, one of the titles of their shows was A Bitter Message of Hopeless Grief. Boy, you better know what you're signing up for when you go to see a show called A Bitter Message of Hopeless Grief, where it's not going to be fun the way you may have understood fun. So, but I think those things can help us enlarge our own experience of what we do like and what we don't like, and what nourishes us as, I don't want to say consumers of art, but as participants in art. And some things will not be for you, and some things really will.
Now, as you've released some of your newer books, you've kind of incorporated a like as part of the release, like an art show, kind of live show. How has that kind of gone hand in hand with kind of just being as a storyteller?
I think you have hit it exactly. It is very much part of telling the story, and in a lot of ways, it's kind of a relief to be able to have that component as well. Because especially with something like Dark Factory, it has so many moving parts that having even doing a trilogy is barely getting everything in, and it's quite a thing. So being able to expand that, like the launch for Dark Factory, we did in a recording studio in Atlanta, and that was super fun. And then for Dark Park, we did an invited underground party where people were given personas to enact, and we shot video, and that was really fun. And for Dark Matter, we have lots of ideas. I don't know for sure what we're going to do yet. A boxing gym has been rooted around, so maybe that's what we'll do. But it is another way to enlarge the story, and it's another way to have fun with the story too. And sometimes people who have been part of the events, who like maybe came with friends or didn't know the story, become interested and intrigued, and then they do want to know. They do want to read the book. They do want to find out more about this. It's like, wow, this is really fun. And I want to know more. I want to do more.
That is something I really admire about how you do this, and is just this kind of holistic approach to to storytelling. Is that it is not just, you're writing a bunch of stuff, put it out onto the next. It is very much you live it, you breathe it, you want everyone else to kind of enter that world. And I like that because I think so much of how we take in art is consumerist, is very like, devour it and then next and devour. We don't take time to as they say, kind of like with a rich meal, and kind of just enjoy and take our time, and we just kind of rush through. And I like that you want people to no, I'm gonna let you remind you, like, this is more than just, it's an experience, more than just a story.
And we can have we that kind of opens it up to bring people into it, I hope, in a way that is also satisfying to doing these ancillary things. I have worked with a lot of different artists and musicians and some filmmakers and people throughout the Dark Factory experience, and all their stuff is up on the site, and being able to see what they saw when they read the book or when we talked or whatever, that's magical to me, because people are bringing their own spin to things. That's why I never quite understood people who get really pissed off about fanfic. It's like, that's a compliment. That's such a compliment that anybody would want to take something that you made and make something with it, unless they're Nazis or something, or they're evil. But that's a compliment. Why would you not like that? I mean, people have really taken it to heart, and they feel moved to do something with it. I think that's awesome.
Which is interesting because I was in a English, like a writing class in college, and I had a woman there take a story I wrote, and she took the story, like the characters. Was a kid that befriended a homeless man, and she took the characters and put them in kind of a much more saccharine story. And she didn't talk to me ahead of time, so I was very taken aback by it. And I still am a little weirded out on her approach, but I never thought of it that way, as kind of like it's flattery. It's like, oh, I like the germ of what you had.
Right. I would like, because we all, when you start out creatively, you generally do start by replicating things that, you, or if you're in a band, like you play songs that you really like, you cover songs, or you, if you're making art, you're either influenced by someone or you're, disinfluenced. And I don't want to do that, but I do want to do this. But it's always in some kind of a dialogue. And it is very often, I started writing stories when I was a real little girl. And those were always like retellings of things that blew me away. And I also didn't know another way to approach it, right? I came to writing as a reader, even though I was a little squirt. Still, you say, I want to arrive at some kind of understanding of how this thing is made. So I'm going to make this thing that I already know what it is. It's like, I'm going to bake a cake. I've eaten cake, so now I'm going to bake a cake and see if I can bake a cake and see if my cake is good or bad or poisonous or, falls flat, whatever. But that's how I want to know.
Have you ever like thought, very hard about delving more into other art forms, like more seriously?
In this mode, yeah, through a narrative mode, I like seeing what we can incorporate, like what can be. I have another project after the last Dark Factory book called Dark Matter that comes out later this year, and I'm going to start working later this year on a different project that will have. We're already talking about the components that we can introduce to that project, and while it begins with the narrative and the story, the novel, but it also has these other components. So I really like that. I think that's, I mean, in some sense, I guess it's like opera. People who wanted me to like opera said, but Kathy, it has everything in it. It has like singing and theater and costumes, and it's got all the arts in it. It's everything good and dance. It's like, I know, but so maybe this is my way of liking opera. It's just, building these esoteric machines to make fun with.
We're running out of time. So one thing you and I talked about, you had sent me a copy of the re-release of Skin. Skin has just came out in a re-release, beautiful edition.
Beautiful Meerkat Press,
I
gorgeous,
was
gorgeous edition.
a whole lot of same thing.
Why? We've had the same book.
You would like to give it away to someone. And what were your criteria? What was your criteria?
Well, the thought was, tell us the music or the show or the something that moves you the most or excites you the most, or as excited as these people get with making their shows or presenting their shows. And from the responses, I guess we will pull out the best one, the one we like the best, and we'll send them the book and the swag package.
Perfect. Sounds perfect. And I will on the podcast stuff, I will have like my email address so they can send it to me and I will loop you in and
All
perfect.
right, cool beans.
So what, all right, so what do you have ahead? So you, like I mentioned, you just had the re-release of Skin and Dark Matter this fall. So that's the on the horizon.
And then the next thing has not yet been announced by Meerkat, who will be publishing it. So I must keep mum for now, but hopefully we will announce in the next week or so. And it I will say that it will be, while it will certainly be recognizably one of my books, there will be some different components in it that I hope people will have fun with. And I plan to have a lot of fun with this book. And I'm also going to learn to do archery.
Oh.
So yeah,
And now
I'm
is that a target 2026 or further or just further out, whenever it's
2026. Yeah, 20, probably late fall, around winter 2026. Is
awesome.
that's what we're shooting for. So
Fantastic. But I mean, for the moment, folks should go and pick up this re-release of Skin and Cast in the Ghost, which is also just came out a few months ago.
they should have Catherine the Ghost, they should have Skin, and then when Dark Matter comes out, actually they can go to darkfactory.club and start looking at the story there, because there is plenty of story there. And the content there is all created by me, and Trisha and I collaborate on its presentation, and that has been completely satisfying, because that story is so big that it needed a really big evolving way to keep telling itself. So people can look at that, and of course Dark Factory and Dark Park, the second book in the series, are both out, so they can get those too, and those are all available from Meerkat and or your favorite online retailer or indie bookstore. And Catherine the Ghost is available from Clash Books and from your favorite indie retailers.
Fantastic. As always, it has been a pleasure. There's never seems to be quite enough time, so I can't thank you enough. It's
All right.
always great to catch up with you.
I'm so glad to be here. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you. You take care.
You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Once more, I can't thank Kathy enough for making some time to talk about her books and her inspiration, and this mystery book that is yet to be announced, that is looking like a 2026 release. That was an absolute joy. It's always a pleasure to speak with her, and it's great to kind of hear what has inspired her and what kind of gets her juices going creatively. As she had mentioned, we have a pack here It is the new release of her book Skin from Meerkat Press. It is the uncorrected advanced review copy. Got a couple art prints, a sticker, and a bookmark. And they're all yours, friend. So you will want to email me at thespookywriter@gmail.com and let us know what music, movies, books, you know, what you love, what inspires you, what gets you going. And she and I will look through all of the entries and we'll choose one and we will send this out to them. Again, that's thespookywriter@gmail.com. That's going right to me, and I will forward it to her. Thank you, as always, friend. You can find all my podcasts and my blogs and links to my own books at spookychris.com. I will speak to you soon. Take care.